I used to think that if I ever had a husband, that my need was going to be met. But God has just been showing me some other things, and so I asked Kim to share some things. She's a wife, and she's got a husband, a really neat husband, but she'd like to share some things right now with you.
I want to ask you if you're going to be a dropout. I don't mean a school dropout, I mean a spiritual dropout. I've seen girls that became Christians and started in a Bible study and started memorizing scripture and started having a quiet time and got active in the BSU and went to the Vespers. And then when a guy came along, either in a dating situation or when they got engaged or got married, the girl would just drop out of the spiritual life. She would just drop Jesus. And I thought, why would a girl drop God for a human God? And I came up with the realization that maybe she really had not become a Christian. Maybe she could not look back at a time of her life where she prayed and received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior and then went on to live out that commitment. And also, she didn't really come to find out what Jesus is like. Because if she had come to see what he is and what he does for us, she wouldn't have ever given up God for a human God. There are two real good tapes. Since Lori's working in the tape library, I thought I'd throw these tapes out. One is The Attributes of God by Josh McDowell. The other is Names of God by Jack Taylor. These tapes just tell a few things that God is for us and to us and just how wonderful he is. But how can you personally get to know God? Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I think we could even substitute love of God for the word faith so it could read, "So then the love of God cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We need to get the word of God in our lives. Trees store up food in their roots so that when a drought comes along, they can use up this food source. And we need to store up spiritual food in our roots so that if a dry spell comes or if we're going through problems or just whatever, we will have this food stored up and we can use it. And the best way to get spiritual food is to get the Word of God in our lives. And one of the best times to get this food stored up is when we're single. And 1 Corinthians 7:32-34 says this, "In all you do, I want you to be free from worry. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man can't do that so well. He has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. It is the same with the girl who marries. She faces the same problem. A girl who is not married is anxious to please the Lord in all she is and does. But a married woman must consider other things, such as housekeeping and the likes and dislikes of her husband." And I find that many times when I'm doing the housework, and I wish I could be reading my Bible or doing a Bible study, that God comes to me through a meditation of his word. And that's some of the neatest times I have with the Lord, is because I've memorized the scripture and I'm using my food storage that I've had time to prepare. So this is one time I just would like to challenge you as a single girl to start really storing up food in your roots. And I got to thinking, the girls that dropped out of spiritual life had never done this. And they never really got to know what Jesus was like, or they would have realized that all along they had a true lover and they already had a true husband in him. Jeremiah 3:14a in the King James Version says, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you." Isaiah 62:4-5 in the Living says, "Never again shall you be called the God-forsaken land or the land that God forgot. Your new name will be the land of God's delight and the bride, for the Lord delights in you and will claim you as his own." Your children will care for you, O Jerusalem, with joy like that of a young man who marries a virgin, and God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom with his bride. The girls who dropped out never came to realize what Ruth in their mind says in tape, what God can mean to a woman, when she says that human love, human relationships, your love with your husband is like icing on a cake. But you've got to have the cake. And God is the cake. And how can we get this cake? How can we get to know God? And Lori's going to tell us how.
How God meets our needs through the Word is really special because it's really knowing the Word of God. But let me tell you that I've come as a learner and as a sharer, and I'm not always obedient, and that is just what God's teaching me right now. When I do have a need, just to go directly to Him. And my weakness is people, and sometimes I'll be disobedient and turn to another person instead of going directly to God's Word or to God, to be washed by His Word or just to find direction or guidance. And so this is where I am. But Kim, can you turn to 2 Timothy 2:15 and read it for us, please? This is a really neat verse because it talks about how we should handle the Word of God accurately.
2:15?
Uh-huh.
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of truth.
Okay, so we really do need to handle the Word of God accurately. And Hebrews 4:12 talks about the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now here are two little books. The Little Prince, maybe y'all have read this before. It's a really neat little book, and you can draw all sorts of principles from it. And here's another book. It's a Christian novel, Through Golden Meadows. And it's a nice little Christian book, too. But these are both books. And this is my Bible. And this is living, and it's active. And every time I open it, Jesus is going to talk to me from it. I mean, this is what He gave to us. It is His love letters to us. And so, the Word is what is going to change our lives. God may send people, or He may send various little things, but it's the Word that's going to change lives. And I always have to be reminded of this, because I always think I'm going to do something, but it's really God and His reminding me of certain principles. The Bible contains principles of life that show us how to live life. And when one of the principles of life is broken, then there's a breakdown in a relationship of life. It could be a relationship with another person, a relationship with a conflict in yourself, with God. Maybe God has allowed you, because you haven't really honored what He had to say about finances. Maybe you've really become low with finances because you haven't handled your money well. But God's Word does have principles, and we can learn how He wants us to be, to behave, how to think. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 is one of my favorite little verses. It says, all scriptures inspired by God are profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And I was just thinking, I've heard of this a long time, but I just thought, what does really teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness mean? And and basically, teaching is where the path is. Okay, here's the path of life. And the path of life that we walk is by faith. It's not by sight. I really believe that God made woman to bring life to man. And it's so easy for us to do things with color and to express ourselves. And we can get so caught up by just eyesight, pretty things. But that's not how the walk of the Christian life is. It's a walk of faith and not by sight. And so what teaching is how to stay on the path of faith. And so it shows you where the path is, and it's wisdom and it's light. And what is wisdom and light? It's the Word. And so there's all sorts of truths in here. And I'll show you a little example of all of these in just a minute. The reproof is when I get off the path and I've done something wrong. I can either do it willfully or it'll be a blind spot. And a reproof, if I've gotten off, will bring darkness and confusion. James 1:23, I really believe, was written for women. God just reminded me of this a couple of days ago. It says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man should be blessed in what he does." So, have you ever gone shopping and you just happen to pass by a mirror and you just look in the mirror and you see that your mascara has gotten on maybe on the top of your eye and you say, "Oh, look," and you know, get it off. Well, it's the same way with God's Word. We could just be, you know, thinking that we're just walking in His light and we're reading, daily reading, quiet time, Bible reading, whatever. And you say, "Oh, look, I'm sinning. It's terrible. You know, I've got to get it off." And that's where the reproof comes in. God says, "You're sinning. Look, you need to be, you need to make a decision." And that's when correction comes along. You've got, that's the decision point. You can decide whether to obey God or to disobey God. And it's your decision. God's not going to force you to do anything. And so, He does have ways of how we can correct ourselves and get right back on the path of life if we want. And then I'll show you some ways in just a minute. And then training in righteousness is how to stay on the path, what got us to get off in the first place, and how we can stick glued to it. It strengthens and reaffirms our steps that are made. Again, Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to cut between the soul and the spirit." Before we became Christians, we developed a lot of bad habits that are in our souls that just need to be cut so that we can be separated from our old habits and God's Spirit can flow through us to remake our souls so that we can be living for God. And it hurts, but it's our decision if we want to do that or not. And Ephesians 5:26 talks about the Word of God is a sword. And if you look at that whole little phrase right there, it talks about the weapons we have against Satan, because we're not fighting against other humans. We're fighting against principalities and Satan's power. And so God has given us weapons because we are His children. But they're weapons of salvation, a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, a shield of faith. But the only... those are defensive. When Satan's fiery darts come, we can defend ourselves, but we can make the attack strongly and boldly with the Word of God, with the sword, and that's what we've got. I've put two little things here. Satan is an imitator, and he's going to come along and with a false sword. Okay, this is, I thought this was really neat. When I was buying these little, trying to decide which little, I couldn't find a sword, but these are kind of like little blades. There's a little, two little boys here, and I said, "Can you show me which one would be the better sword or the knife for me to buy?" And the little guy first picked up this one, and you'd think he'd pick this one because it's prettier, and it's prettier, and this is so plain. He said, "Yeah, this one will hold up anyway. It's so plastic, it'll just fall apart." But he said, "No, this will really do good." And I just thought, isn't that funny? He chose the one that just looked plain. But it's sturdier, and this one probably would break faster because it's not as sturdy. But that's what Satan's going to do. He's going to tempt us with something that looks, oh yes, really good. But God's Word might not look as good right now, but it will cut because God promises us this in Hebrews 4:12. And so, the sword is our weapon that we've got in fighting against Satan. Okay, one day, this is me. I was walking down the path of life and just trotting along here, and something came along, and this person really offended me, and they were so crummy, and they were in the wrong, but I responded in the wrong way, and I was so upset. And I didn't say anything verbally, but my feelings just really exploded within me. And I got my message across that I was very unhappy with this person, but I didn't say anything. And I came home, and I complained to God, and I said, God, that person is so crummy. And I just brought up offense after offense that this person had committed against me in the past. I just brought up everything. And so I decided to turn to God for wisdom. So here's my little wisdom book. And I remember the daily reading for the day was Psalms 101. So I turned to it, and my intention for turning to it was for comfort and for direction and how to pray for this person because they were so sinful. And so I turned to this. And I read, whoever secretly slanders her neighbor, her I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. And I thought, I spit hers for his, so I can understand it with me. But it said, no one who has a haughty look. And I thought, boy, that person was so haughty. But then I thought, you know, I got in a couple of good looks myself. And then it said, an arrogant heart will I endure. An arrogant heart I will not endure. And I thought, boy, were they ever arrogant? And then I started thinking, but so was I. And I thought, this is showing me something different than I intended, because God's kind of reproving me here. And I just couldn't believe it. No one who has a haughty look, and I put no daughter who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, will I endure? And I just thought, but Father, but, he said, no, but, this is what I say. And so I was shown that I had the choice. I had gotten off the path here. And I had the choice of continue complaining. Satan wanted me to take this false sword of revenge. Well, you've got the right to really call him crummy. You've got the right to be expected to be treated with honor. And just some other things that Satan would tempt us. But God's word said, no, that's not how I want you to be. I want you to be loving. And I want you to call this person and ask for forgiveness. And so I had the choice of asking for forgiveness or pouting and staying in a crummy state of mind. So with my will, I decided to call this person and ask for forgiveness. And I chose God. So this says, God loves you. So here's a new weapon. So I put it right here. And I called the person. And I was crying before I called them because I just did not want to. But with my will, I did it. And it was so neat afterwards. Okay, so I got back on the path of life. Okay, for that moment, for the rest of that day, I was happy. But I knew I was going to see that person again. And I thought, I'm not going to be able to take it. I just have no way how to respond. And so that's where the training of righteousness comes in. How to continue loving. How to continue to walk in the Spirit. And so I remembered two verses. One I'd memorized, and one I was in the process of memorizing, Matthew 11:29, that talks about Jesus. Because whenever I doubt what I should be doing or how I should respond, I think, well, how would Jesus do it? And in Matthew 11:29, it says, come to me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. And I just thought, gentle and humble in heart, no matter who says what to me, I need to be gentle and humble in heart. And then Philippians 2:3 talks about regarding one another as more important than yourself. I just thought, but Lord, there's just no way. This person just really upsets me. And Dave Bartow once said, when humility is not characteristic of my life, something is wrong. And that's just another way of saying Philippians 2:3. But I just decided that I was going to regard this other person as more important than myself. And so what I decided to do with an act of my will, I took God's sword and I cut. On my soul, I said, no, I'm not going to continue that bad habit of hate. I'm, with my will, going to cut the hate off and allow God's spirit of love to flow through me to love that person. It was really neat what happened because this other person and I were put in another situation and they didn't get the facts straight about something and they were just yelling at me and my feelings started coming up, rising, just getting ready to explode, and I remembered I decided to love that person. With an act of my will, I decided to love this person. And so I didn't say anything, but in my spirit I loved them. And all of a sudden they just quit yelling, and their whole spirit just broke. And then they later said, I don't know why I was yelling at you. Will you forgive me? And they had never asked my forgiveness. I just said, God, thank you, because I could have never done this at all. And it hurts when you're cutting off old bad habits. But if you've ever read Hind's Feet, which I just love, it talks about just sacrificing, getting the old you out of the way. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things have passed away, new things have come. And it's learning new things. And so she made a sacrifice, and that's what we're all doing right now. There are certain activities, how to get the word into your heart, so that when circumstances or people come into your life that you can't agree with, you can be helped. And I'm sure you all seen this, the hand illustration. But basically, there are 5 ways of getting the word of God into your life. It's by hearing, and by reading, and studying, and memorizing, and meditating. And hearing, just like him was saying, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And last week I was put in a situation where I really needed a lot of faith. And I remember the story about the man that asked Jesus for more faith, and I asked him for more faith. But then God reminded me of this verse that I had memorized. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he said, just get straight back into the word, because that's where your faith is going to come from too. And so I just thought, hearing, what are some other ways of hearing God's word? And I'm just really blessed to work in a tape library, because I can be hearing things, how different people are blessed by the word, how they've had victories with Jesus. Just hearing other people talk and share verses, that is so encouraging. And I just thought, you know, when I'm having lunch with a friend, or just even here, what are the things I talk about? Things about how to encourage, or things that I've been encouraged with. And something else that God's really been dealing with me is Christian music. And I've never had any problems with listening to hardcore rock, because that just was never my thing. But I can really get involved with musicals. And God is saying, yeah, it's lawful, but is it really letting the word of God dwell richly within you? And we'll talk about that in just a minute. And Proverbs 1:20 is so neat. And it talks about wisdom as a she, and she's just crying through the streets. I mean, just crying, saying, won't anybody hear me? Listen to me. I have so much I want to share with you. And I really encourage y'all to read a Proverbs a day. There are 31 Proverbs, one for each day of the month. And over and over again, I just see things I've just never seen before, and I guess God has decided that I'm ready to understand them at that time. Then comes reading. In Acts 17:11, talks about the Bereans checking out everything in the Word daily. And sometimes I don't feel like getting to God's Word daily, but my love for God is not, I love you, God, but it's obedience. And in John it talks about, she who has my commandments and keeps them, she is who loves me. And just the other day I said, Lord, I love you so much. And then God showed me a time when, just that day, I was not obedient when he'd asked me to do something. And I just said, oh, because what, have you ever known someone who said they loved you, but they just didn't prove it? And God was just saying, you need to learn what really love is. It's actions and doing and being obedient. And so, ever since I got up here, I'd never heard of this, but it's really neat reading the Bible through once a year to see what God has to say. Maybe he has a special promise for you in Ezra or Habakkuk. And I know not that many people do big, huge studies on Habakkuk or Ezra, but it's just really encouraging. Maybe God does have something he wants to speak to you about. And Gene Moore talks about reading a different version of the Bible each year, maybe the Amplified this year, New American the next, just to enlighten your thoughts about it. The third one is studying. In 2 Timothy 2:15, again, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And studying is my favorite. Another time, I was talking with a person, and I told them, I just thought they'd just appreciate this so much. We were having a conversation, and they had gotten out of fellowship with the Lord, and I thought, because they'd gotten really angry with what they were talking about, and I just thought, well, I just need to tell them that they're out of fellowship, and they'll just appreciate this so much. So I said, you're out of fellowship. And she said, real sweetly, because that's, you know, love, gentleness. And this person just responded terribly. And I thought they'd say, well, thank you, and we confess this, and we could continue our conversation. But they didn't do it. They just screamed. And so they told me how harsh I was and how impatient and unloving. And I thought I was really loving. So what I did was I decided to do a study and see what the word gentleness and patience meant. And so one of the best tools that we've got is the dictionary, Webster's Dictionary. And I love this. This is Vine's book. And it says an expository dictionary, and it just tells the basic Greek words. And like English, we'll have like one word for love, but in the Greek, there's just jillions. Well, not jillions, but there's at least four. And you need to know which word they're talking about, and it really makes a whole lot of sense when you can understand it. And I'm not a scholar by any means, but I can read a book that can show me how to know the basic Greek words. And so when I was looking up the word gentle, I looked up patience too, and it's most books will use the King James words, or sometimes it will have a marginal note about the Revised Standard, so you have to kind of think in terms of that. And so it said, long suffering is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation which does not hastily or promptly punish. And I just thought, that's what I did. I said, you're out of fellowship, and I hastily said that. And it wasn't loving, and I was just rebuked there. And gentleness looks humanely and reasonably at the facts. And I wasn't listening to this other person's facts. I was listening to feelings and emotions. And that just goes along with what Judy was talking about last night, and how I really need to work on this. And I was thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, and that's why I thought about gentleness and patience, because the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, and it is long-suffering and patience. And I also decided to look up some verses in the Bible where it talks about gentleness or rebuking. And one verse talks about in Proverbs, says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. It doesn't say a gentle rebuke turns away wrath. And I just thought, oh. And so then what I decided to do was look at an Old Testament character, a woman that I could think of that was in the same circumstance or had the same problems, that could have responded in the wrong way, but that responded in the right way. And because I had been reading the Bible, I remember Abigail in 1 Samuel 25, and she was married to a horrible husband who got drunk. He was wealthy. He treated her terribly, and God talks about her as being intelligent and beautiful in appearance. And the word intelligent really means a good understanding. And that's worthy to me to be called a woman of good understanding. Because it'd be horrible. Have you ever lived with a roommate that was just horrible to get along with? And but can you think being married to a person like this? And it would really give you a chance to learn how to respond in a godly type way. And so, because of the way her husband treated David when David was trying to protect their territory, but her husband didn't believe that he was really David, David got very upset and he was going to kill everybody in the land. And so her response was a response of responsibility to the situation, of submissiveness, of kindness, of reverence. And I just listed about 10 facts after reading the story about 10 times, just to ask the Holy Spirit to really show me principles and how I could respond to she. And God showed me so many beautiful things and how she responded to a funny situation. Then the fourth thing is memorizing scripture. And Colossians 3:16 talks about God's word dwelling richly inside of us. Now, it could have said God's word dwelling poorly in us. It still dwelled. And I just really challenge your verses or putting the Word of God into your life? Are you a poor dweller, letting God's Word dwell poorly in you or richly in you? And Psalms 119, 9 and 11 talks about, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against Thee. Have you ever been defeated about something, maybe a certain battle, eating, or just wrong thoughts at the wrong time, or not making use of your thought time? Well, this is a way that God's Word can help us in fighting these battles. And I know I'm living with Dalton and Rose, and they're both engaged, and they'll both come in from their dates. I don't see them that much because I'll be in bed, but if it's on a date, they don't come in late, I just go to bed early. They'll come in and they'll both be 5 feet off the ground just floating. And I'll just think, woo, I'm so lonesome, Lord. And I've memorized parts of Psalm 70, and it just talks about Jesus being my sweetheart. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides Thee. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And that just lifts my heart when I remember that. And I'm lonesome no more. But it's because I have memorized this and I've taken it through my emotions and my feelings. And it's really special. And even times when you're walking across campus and you're all by yourself, maybe it's fearful at night. The verse is about taking God's hand and just holding His hand, and He's right there beside you. It's a comfort. And the fifth thing is meditating. Joshua 1:8 talks about meditating as a key to being a success in life. And when is the best time to meditate? And the answer is morning, noon, and night. And Psalms 119:99 says, I have more insight than all my teachers. Can you imagine that? Here you are at OU, and you can have more insight than all your teachers just by meditating. And I used to think meditating was some guru type thing that you stuck your three fingers out and put your eyeballs back and did weird things. But it's not like that at all. It's just really simple. And I'd like to share with you a situation that God allowed me to see through in meditating, because I had a problem with two people. One was a roommate, and another was a person that I had close contact with. And we just simply could not get along. We always fought, just snarly type. And so Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So I said, huh, that's interesting. And so I started doing a little study on this, and I looked up all the words where it talked about iron in the Bible. And it talked about iron as being, and especially in Revelations, as an authority, as a rule, as a tool, and as shattering things. And I thought, what would God want to shatter in my life? And I thought, my will to do my way and not His way. It also talks about, in the Old Testament, Revelations, about iron as having strength and endurance. And I know the word endure means to bear under. Have you ever been in a situation, maybe with a friend that you just wanted to escape? You did not want to be with that person. Maybe a job that you just couldn't stand, that you just couldn't bear under it. But God wants us to endure, because if you flee the situation, He's just going to bring another situation in that's going to be a little bit harder, because He's brought that into your life so that you can learn some things, so that you can develop into God's character. So I looked up in Webster's Dictionary the word for iron, and iron is the most common of all metals. And I thought, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And I thought, isn't that funny that God used just a real common thing to do the sharpening? It wasn't some big, glorious goal, but just plain old iron. And I just thought, that's how God's going to work in our lives too, with people. And He's not going to send an angel or a method, but He will use people. And so I thought, okay, I've got the... Oh, one more thing, sharpens. In the dictionary it says, to sharpens is an Indo-European base word, which means to cut off a piece of flesh. And I thought, that's what the Sword of God's doing. It's cutting off living and active, sharpening a two-edged sword, which is able to cut between soul and spirit. And it's the old soul habits that God's going to be cutting off. My flesh so that his spirit can live and take over and rule through my soul. And so, getting all that down, I started thinking, iron sharpens iron. Here's an iron, here's an iron. I was going like that, and I thought, huh. And I just kept going like that and thought, now what exactly is happening? And I thought, well, yeah, I bet if I took a microscope, I could see that there would be rough spots in each piece of iron because they would be smoothing them off. And I thought, that's what happens when God sends another person in my life. He's going to smooth out the rough spots, the blind spots. And I kept doing this, and I thought, it's not like this. You have to have contact. You have to touch. You have to be open and honest with that person. You can't wear plastic, wear a mask. You're really down in there in the situation. And I kept doing this, and my hands started getting real hot. And I said, huh, isn't that funny? Friction. Yeah, and I thought these other two people that God had brought into my life, there was friction. And I was looking at them, I thought, look at the direction I'm going. It's not this way. I thought, if we're going this way, we couldn't sharpen. It's this way. It's opposite. And I thought, isn't that interesting how God chose to bring certain things in my life that would cause that, but they're sharpening, taking the rough spots off. And both have to be consenting to sharpen. One can't just say, well, I'm going to sharpen myself. Both have to decide if they're going to do this. And I thought it was really neat that God chose like on like, iron on iron, not iron on aluminum, and man on man, not an angel with a man, not a method, but man on man. And it's enduring. That point of friction is a point of endurance, bearing under the situation. And oh, this has just really blessed my heart, because I really saw that I really needed to make a decision whether I was going to stick in these relationships and try, or I was just going to give up and leave. And so God really showed me about circumstances, how I at first was going to let circumstances rule my life, but I saw, no, it was God who allowed this to come into my life to help me be like Him. So that's one little thing I had on meditating. Meeting needs, this is really special. I made a need sheet, and these are some needs. The title of this is How God Meets Our Needs, plural, through the Word. Our single most need is to be loved and to love. And but some other needs that would come along would be the need to be guided, the need to have a godly response, how to respond the right way, the need to know what our purpose is in life, our individual purposes, to know God's will, to be appreciated, to have the right kind of ministry skills, respond to the right person in the right way who hasn't had a problem like we've had, or need to have a husband, or to know which direction to go if we're not going to have a husband, the need for wisdom, the heart to love people, need for money to meet needs, the right kind of friends, not just people that are okay, but really can encourage us in Jesus, and the need to be protected. And verses give answers to meet our needs, and they can really comfort us. And lately I've been on Weight Watchers, and I've lost weight, but it seems like everybody seems to be talking about my outward appearance. Boy, you've really gotten skinny. And that's an encouragement to me, because I've always been fat, and I'm getting there, Lord willing. But I want to be encouraged with something else, my character or something. And it seems like lately I've been rebuked a whole lot in certain areas, and I appreciate that, but I just want to be told that I'm doing something right. And so I said, God, isn't there some sort of honor that I can have? And I know it talks about the slave has no right to do his duty and be praised. But I just said, Lord, I just want to be honored. And so I'll share a verse with you that talks about this in just a minute. But God reminded me of this study that I had done in Proverbs this past summer about being a wife. And I was reading Proverbs 3. He woke me up about 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was reading Proverbs 3, the characteristics of wisdom and understanding. And I just thought, Wisdom Understanding, it talks about her as a she. And I thought, how neat. And it's talking about, I like reorganizing proverbs to meet a situation that I have. Maybe I'm sad, or I want to learn how to not be a stumbling block to my brother, so I'll maybe take Proverbs 7, which talks about the harlot, gives all of her negative qualities, and it says stay away from her, so I decide to like take all her positive qualities and go to her. So I'll group little things with Proverbs. And this time, I decided to put all the characteristics of wisdom and understanding in Proverbs 3, and put them in a column, and the results of wisdom and understanding. And when I started writing this down, I said, wait a minute, I remember reading this somewhere. And I remember that in Proverbs 31, it talked about the Proverbs 31 woman having having her worth far above jewels. And wisdom and understanding is talked about as having riches and honor in her left hand. And I started seeing a comparison of the Proverbs 31 woman with Proverbs 3 with wisdom and understanding. It was so neat because it talks about wisdom and understanding is being a helpmeet to God in founding the earth, establishing the heavens to break up the deeps, and bringing happiness to all those who hold her. And I thought, isn't that neat? Because God sends a wife to a man to take away the loneliness there, to be a companion, to help establish the earth and the heavens. And I just got blessed by seeing all the comparisons of how God just put pattern after pattern on all this. And then I took things personally, made a personal application. One of the ways it talks about wisdom and understanding is her ways will be pleasant ways with kindness. And I just thought about that day, the day before, if I had been pleasant or kind and God reminded me, no, I can remember a certain situation where you hadn't been. Oh, and I was really rebuked, but it was really good because it gave me a little project to do, and being that type of person. And this is my very favorite part. I call it P.S. Lover. We have a need, like I said, the very first one, to love and to be loved. And someone once said, the biggest problem in marriage is that the wife wants a husband to love her in a way that she wants to be loved. She has so many expectations in the way that she individually wants to be loved that there's no way that he can meet them. This is just what Kim was talking about, human love versus God's love. And we can even be doing this on a subconscious level, wanting our needs to be met, which are expectations. It's a right. And it doesn't even have to be with husbands. It can be with other people, roommates, a friend, anybody. But only God can meet our deepest needs. And six deep needs that would be classified under to love and to be loved, maybe you can identify what these are. The need to be cared for, the need to settle down. We have nesting instincts and just want to put up house to settle down. One time when I was moving, things were really chaotic and things weren't in the right places and boxes were up and I was still cleaning the other apartment and I just said, God, I just want a home. I just want to have curtains and stuff. And Psalms 84 talks about, Laurie, wherever you go, that's where I am. That's where your home is. My heart, your heart is my home and I'm living right there. It just reminded me of that. The third one is the need to have a future of substance. Where am I going? Lord, can you show me? I just really want to know. And the fourth one is a need to adore. We love to adore people. And God just made us that way. And we have a need to feel accepted as a person. And we have a need to have our love longings met. And if we're dependent upon human love, we're going to find ourselves bitter and resentful, and we're going to be thinking, oh, that's just so unfair. This person's not loving me, and maybe they don't have time to. Or maybe God will put you in a situation where you're the person that people are looking up to. And with human love, we can't do it. We have to learn how to depend upon God. And there is a song that says, you're nobody till somebody loves you. And that's right. But only God is the person who can really make us feel loved. And here's the verse I was telling you about that I'd never seen until this Sunday. Last Sunday, it's Isaiah 43:4, and it says, "You are precious in my sight. You are honored, and I love you." I just said, "Really? That's great." And that's what God says to us. And I just challenge you with, where are you looking to be satisfied, to feel adequate, to have your needs met, and to feel loved? Are you depending upon different circumstances? As soon as I graduate, boy, everything will be okay. I can start having my quiet times and do all these studies. Boy, as soon as I get married, then I'll have time to do all this. Well, Kim just told us, no, it's right now. This is when we're building our careers in the Lord. And it's now that we need to learn how to depend upon God. And we're going to get to know God through His Word. And there is a study done by Ruth Myers that I've done. Has my genius ever made anybody great? That is really neat. I'd like to give y'all the sheet if you'd like to take one. If you'd like to pass around, Susan. But God's Word does meet our deepest needs, and God meets our needs, and it's only God that's going to do that. And human love, human people can meet our needs temporarily, but humans are sinners and we're not always going to be reliable, but God's Word is. So I just want to challenge you to really get to know God's Word and to handle it accurately. Let's pray, okay? Father, I just thank you so much for this time of sharing, and I just pray that my words won't be remembered, but your Holy Spirit is going to bring into full remembrance of all the things that you want each sister here to remember. And I thank you that it's nothing that I say, but it's your word that's going to change lives. And I pray that each person here remembers this. Thank you so much for the Bible, Lord. In the name of prayer, amen.